Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
No, I'm just saying, he is like an older player.
I know he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money on the table, and I don't think he wants to go out this way.
Well, that's a good
point. Okay. This guy's been playing football. He's been playing football his entire life. I don't think he wants to end it this way. And two, the rhetoric I hear about Trent not being so good this year. Well, again, Jordan Mason, if he wasn't good, Jordan Mason would be leading the league in rushing at one point this year.
He was
doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but Mason, to be fair, if we're going like advanced numbers, he also was very high up on like after contact lists.
Yeah, no
as
doubt.
Well.
But think about when he was getting that contact. You know, he was making things happen. So, by the way, 650 just reminded us, don't forget about the Talking Heads segment. The improv there with the Talking
Heads
segment.
Did you like that? I didn't know. Did people like that? That was a total impromptu.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm sure the other host at 95.7 The Game did not like it.
No, Aussie, when you guys did that, that might have been one of the high points of the show. Steven Rizzo was telling me it was his favorite part of the show. Like, that might be a thing that next year we have to incorporate into the show.
See, what did the other show say about the Doobies? They say anything about it? I was kind of tapped out.
I listened to Guru
gave us some love.
Yeah, I listened to the first few minutes of Steiny and Guru. They're like, hey, that looked like a great party. I assume they mentioned it after that.
Steiny Hellage. Jealous?
I don't know.
Doesn't surprise me.
I didn't hear anything that Willard and Dib said about her in the crowd. I assume it was a talking point on the station. I can't tell you
so
what was
here's
said,
what
though,
I would say about the fatheads. I want to do it with the hosts at the station, but I also think we need to do it with athletes. I liked when PTI used to do it, and they'd be like, oh, who am I? I'm, you know, Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts, or, you know, now Walker Buehler, who signed a one-year deal with the Boston Red Sox. Walker Buehler. So I think we should do more of them and have a ton of fatheads here in the studio.
Sure, we don't want to turn it into a fat head segment, though. But I'm with you. I'm with you. It was a lot. That was a lot of fun.
Calling into a talking head segment.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, no, I'm trying to jack a lot of things off of PTI before. That's why we got the fat heads here.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, we tried to decorate the studio. And I'm like, Matt, get a Farhan fat head. Like, I want fat heads of the characters that we talk about. Farhan Zaidi. You know, who? Brendan Podzimski.
I heard that the Farhan fat head's filled with nothing but hot air.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Wow, dude.
I mean, when you're going to Will Clark, it's like no one believes you, Farhan, that you didn't come up with the specific day-to-day lineups. No one believes you. You only hired the guy who would do exactly what you wanted him to do in Gabe Kapler.
Let's go to Manny on a Dumbarton Bridge, who he also got to meet at the Doobie Awards. He put his plate down to get on the microphone, and it was actually the shortest call he's had in 2 years. I was actually disappointed. I was like, Manny, you were 30 seconds and out.
What's
you went
up,
back,
Manny?
Straight back to the plate.
I appreciate you guys, man. Hey, the food was good. I can't complain. I'm sorry, guys. And I didn't want to, you know, take up your limelight because that's your show, bro. I mean, that whole setup was pretty doggone fun, man.
Cool.
I enjoyed it. I hope I come through one more time. I told you, Vontae, just like George Kittle, I'll be back next year. I'll be back with a vengeance. That's what he said. I'll be back next year with a vengeance. But hey, man, it was a great time, and we have to come on a Monday and talk about the Niners. I mean, Vontae, if you listen to all my takes all year long, I always question their heart, and it's not about the talent, it's not about the personnel, it's not about everything. It's the will to win. And yesterday was just another game where you guys showed me. It's like, you know what? I understand the injuries. I understand the frustrations. I understand the setbacks. But through it all, man, a team has to find a way to win. And this, if it's not one thing, it's another with this squad. And Purdy, I'm going to reserve my judgment on him. It's getting real close to teetering on the other side of the needle where I'm looking for something better. I mean, I can't stand those game-ending picks, man. I mean, if you look at the standings, how close were we to even getting to the offs? I mean, if you look at where Seattle is, where Arizona is, if we just had a little extra oomph somewhere along the line, we'd be right in the thick of things right now. Yeah. As it stands, the year is what it is. Yeah. I appreciate you guys, man. I got to get to business here in a second, but thank you again.
See you, Manny.
It was great meeting you, listeners and everyone.
Yep. You too, Manny. Great to meet you.
That game was sitting on a platter. It feels like a lot of them have this year, and the Niners have failed to grab the steak and the knife and the fork and just take that protein. The Brock Purdy thing, this is just where I fall down. He'll probably be on the team next year, and he's probably going to get some sort of a pay increase that he's deserved. He could play for free next year. I have to bring someone in to push him. I'm not saying to replace him because I don't know. I don't know if you could find an upgrade. I really don't. Because I do think he's a good player. I don't know where he falls. I don't know, 11, 16. I don't know where he is. But, like, to me, he could play for free next year. So remove the money. I got to draft somebody. I got to bring in a competent backup or someone that I think can push this guy because I don't think this year was good enough.
Right.
And I view it just like I would any other position on the team. Like, he's been good at times. He's been bad at times. I'm always looking to upgrade.
Honestly, you wonder how many people want to move on from Brock Purdy.
Just flat out move on?
Just flat out move on. How many people want to flat out move on
here's from the Brock Purdy? When you
because
say
I know,
that.
Because a lot of people... when they're going to see, no matter what, if they see $40 million, they see $50 million, they see $60 million, they're going to think that a lot of people, I believe, are going to say Silver pays Jimmy Garoppolo all over again. I'm thinking to myself, boy, I've seen a lot more from Brock Purdy than I ever saw from Jimmy Garoppolo. I've seen it at the highest moments. Brock Purdy doesn't shrink to me. But decision-making this year has been a problem. We think of the Arizona game. You know, George Kittle, you're looking for him. Ball gets tipped, it gets picked. You lose the game. But also, Jordan Mason fumbles inside the 10. But the Kansas City game, you underthrow George Kittle and Jacob Cowing for touchdowns. You settle for three. And then, of course, you throw the bad interception to Ronnie Bell. Like, you can't overlook that. You can't overlook the second and 11 against Seattle, where Deebo Samuel runs the end route. You got to hit that throw instead you airmail it. Then you have to punt the ball back to Seattle. So he hasn't been great this year. There's no doubt about it. But I just wonder how many people just want to simply move on from Brock Purdy.
That's a great question. The fourth quarters have just been so perplexing because you're referencing all these moments in the fourth quarter. Just the last 2 weeks, you had 10 days in between these games through basically game-losing picks in both of them. And it felt like in both scenarios, he's driving the ball down the field unnecessarily. Like, there's no need to force it. You're not down multiple touchdowns. You still have time on the clock. You still have a good down and distance. You know, so yesterday, it's first down. Like, yeah, would I like you to layer that throw over? Yeah, for sure I'd like you to hit that throw. But simultaneously, you take the sack there. It's not the worst thing in the world. You do have three timeouts. You're at the 50-yard line. You know, you did have two guys underneath that looked like that you could throw to on the checkdowns. Like, I said it in the text thread, like, when they went to the 2-minute drill. I'm like, guys, they have so much time. You don't need some crazy throw down the middle of the field.
You know, sure, he could have hit the checkdowns there, but I think if he doesn't get hit, he may make that throw. That's just my opinion. I could be dead wrong. I could be dead wrong there. But he gets popped. Ball has no steam on it. He's looking for Juwan Jennings. We've seen Brock Purdy make that throw over and over. Over and over again. So you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, in Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Richard Sherman and what he thinks the Niners need this offseason to improve and get back to the playoffs.
That offensive line needs to be the number one, number two, and number three priority this offseason. If you're going to pay this quarterback all the money you're going to have to pay him, you want to keep him upright so that he can be the playmaker that he has been. This year, he's been under a lot more duress. He's been using his legs more. He's had to leave the pocket more often than not. It hasn't been great. And without Trent, it's looked even worse. You need a right tackle. No ifs, ands, or buts. No discussion. No nothing. A right tackle. You need to figure out a center, maybe in the second round. There's plenty of them in the Big Ten somewhere to find them. Maybe one in the SEC. And then maybe find a guard in free agency. It looks like you have one in Pooney. Put a competition out there at left guard. And I know you can't just draft them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But that's what I would do. We're going to hit on one of them.
That's sure to Sherman. And offensive line play. And we're going to watch the playoffs coming up. The playoffs are coming up. And you look at the playoffs in college football. What is help Penn State? And Notre Dame, and Ohio State, and who's the other team? Texas. The trenches. You have to have the trenches solidified in these moments. In December football, and when you head to January, your offensive line, the defensive line needs to be buttoned up. And right now, there's no doubt the trenches of the 49ers is lacking.
Who are the two best offensive lines in the NFC?
Right now, Detroit. Detroit's got a great offensive line in Philadelphia.
It's like, yeah, that's like no, there's no one that's arguing anything otherwise. Saquon Barkley said, it's the best offensive line I've ever played along.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's going to go for 2,000 yards.
Right? So,
I mean, Minnesota's offensive line is holding up. They made the deal. Give Minnesota credit. They're my dark horse in the NFC. What a game for Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson to win that game in Seattle. But what did they do? Derek Shaw gets hurt on Thursday Night Football against the LA Rams. They say, damn, this season isn't lost. We got a great shot to go to the Super Bowl. They go out and trade for Cam Robinson to Jacksonville. All right? So the offensive line play, and right now the Rams, their offensive line and their defensive lines are dominating the trenches. They dominated the Niners trenches last Thursday.
Chargers had an opportunity. Everyone said, oh, they're moving off all the receivers.
Yep.
They're going to take a receiver. Who'd they take?
Joe Alt. Notre Dame. Offensive lineman.
And that's Harbaugh. This brings me back to Shanahan. Because Shanahan has said over and over, him and Chris Forster, well, we don't really like, you know, paying linemen outside of the best one in Trent Williams. We like to develop them late in the draft. They're going to have a philosophical change in terms of how they do business.
Absolutely.
Because that really hasn't been one of their operating like ideals.
No, it hasn't been good at all. Let's go to...
And I got some Shanahan numbers I do want to run through with you at some point.
George in the jungle, what's happening?
What's up, George?
Gentlemen, good to listen. Been away for a while, but I'm back. I got to tell you, this team has lived and died on its defense for the last decade or two. And they've died a lot, and they're dying right now. And the reason is, look at the two DCs prior to the last two. They had life. They were jumping up and down on the sidelines with the team. They were injecting life into that defense. And I look at Sorensen on the sideline, he looks like a dummy. He looks like he's just standing there and, you know, this is what's happening. He's got no emotion. He's got no charge. And this defense needs charge, and it needs to come from the top.
Well, their personnel isn't good either.
With Sorensen.
Would you agree that their personnel isn't good? Like, for example, they played Devondre Campbell all year, and I know D. Winters was hurt at the beginning of the year. Like, you couldn't play D. Winters?
Well,
he looked okay to me.
Well, D. Winters got hurt yesterday, so number one, he can't stay healthy. But also, if we're going to be hyper-focused on Purdy and what he can and can't do, where's my highest paid defense player of the year, player in the league? Nick Bosa. Where is Nick Bosa?
They said his name once, and it was talking about his dad.
Where is number 97 at? Number 97 continues to underwhelm. Continues to underwhelm, folks. 97, Nick Bosa. Where was he? I'm looking at the stat sheet right now. Bosa. Final defensive stats. Bosa. Okay, oh, wow. Two tackles, two assists, one tackle for loss, no sacks, no passes deflected.
He had
no forced fumbles.
He had a hurry on the throw to Tyreek Hill in the end zone that I believe D'Amour Lenore tipped, that Tyreek still should have caught. He like kind of rushed. He forced him to rush that throw.
Yeah.
That was the only play that sticks out in my mind.
Nick Bosa, MIA. MIA. Come on, Nick. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll get to the calls here on the other side. We got a lot of calls, a lot of people who are at the Doobies. We'll get to them all here as we talk some 49er football. Also, we'll get into the Warriors at some point. A lot going on in the sports world, especially here in the Bay Area, and it'll be brought to you by the Inn at the Tides. Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire, enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. This time of year is magical at the Inn at the Tides. Special midweek rates start at just $159 per night. Book your escape now. And it's tides.com.
Hey, it's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Chasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
All right, Verducci, and everybody out there who came to the Doobies. It was a lot of fun Friday. Laughing Monk growing. The food was great. The spread was great. Chesky had about five plates. Risotto just started a job.
I did not. I had half a plate.
No, you had three plates.
No, I didn't.
You had two plates in the first hour of the show.
No, I didn't. I had half a plate.
You had two plates before the show even started.
I had a little bit of watermelon. Who doesn't like watermelon?
Chesky, you really loaded up. You had him staring at me in the face.
And then I didn't get a chance to finish it.
Well, you're a goblin. You're a goblin. It's okay, because a lot of people were, too. I tried to gobble that lobster linguine.
So good.
Oh, my God.
The biscuits and gravy were really good.
Oh, dude, Sam's never met free food he didn't like. I mean,
I'm not kind of just put. I did not get enough as much food as I wanted.
My favorite part was when the boss sent out an email basically telling you not to eat food in the studio control room anymore.
Oh, I'm not the one who so easily.
Yeah, he said it to you.
Yeah, it was just me personally. But, no, the food there was off the hook. I really wish I got more of that biscuits and gravy on Friday morning.
311 Shasky.
Well, my guy violently eats oatmeal and sausage every single day in there.
Where does the violence come from?
Damn.
The way I watch you guzzle down yogurt every morning?
Like, you don't eat in this studio.
Well, I do. I admit it.
Yeah, but don't snitch on him. Don't snitch on him.
He has to snitch on himself, too, by saying that he also eats in the studio.
No, he didn't snitch on himself. I busted him out, and then he finally admitted it. So, love me. Pay attention. Gus, I'm trying to have your back here. You just take
like Brock Purdy, anyway, dude, you're letting me down.
Anyway,
fourth quarter.
Man, download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game, thousands of other stations, and millions of pods are free in the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners, Warriors, stations, and radio shows like Starting Goo or The Morning Roast. Catch amazing interviews like Kerr when he joins Willard and Dibbs every single week during the basketball season. All right. Got a lot going on. 888-957-9570. We'll talk some Niners, but I also want to get some calls in on Ricky Henderson. We lost an absolute legend Saturday or Friday. Caught wind of it Friday, and then it was made official Saturday. But Ricky Henderson passing away at the age of 65, and I don't think there's any doubt, no question whatsoever, that he is the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. Power, speed. The character himself. We don't see many characters like that. You know, he talked in third person. Ricky Henderson has just the stories go on, and they're all great stories that make you smile. So, you know, what Ricky Henderson meant to the city of Oakland, he was Oakland through and through, Oakland born, representing the town. Man, we lost a great one. We keep losing great ones this year. In 2024, man, we just lost some absolute juggernauts, man. Willie Mays, Jerry West. Or loser Ricky Henderson? Ah.
When I was a kid, you used to hear this phrase like, oh, man, they died too soon or too young or whatever. And, like, there's never a good time to pass away. But you brought up, like, Willie Mays. Like, Willie Mays did live to be 90 years old. You know, he lived a really good life. And I think most people that I'm talking to in the airwaves right now, they say, man, if I could get to 90, you'd sign me up, you know?
Yep.
And look, I you probably roll your eyes because I say it all the time, but like, my dad was 1 year older than Ricky. And so to see Ricky pass away, it's like that one hit me like a sack of potatoes. I'm not an A's fan, never pretended to be one. Ricky Henderson is one of my favorite players of all time, and you're going to hear that from a lot of people. It's the style of play. Not a practice goes by. When I'm coaching kids and we do base running in every practice, do I not reference something from Ricky Henderson? I've watched all these MLB breakdowns with him and Harold Reynolds and Barry Larkin. I've seen individual ones with him and Tony La Russa that are on the internet. I've watched all of these different breakdowns on who Ricky Henderson was as a player and what he did as a base stealer and how he would do it. And it's like, this is something I think about all the time. The guy stole 130 bases in a season, got thrown out 60 times, okay? What would he have done if you could only throw over two times? What would he have done? What would he have done with slightly larger bases where every single pitcher in baseball doesn't know how to do a slide step? What would he have done when you could see the poor mechanics of the one knee down with all of these catchers who can't throw to second base nowadays? This guy would have broke more records. He broke the stolen base record, similar to Jerry Rice, at 31 years old. Not in his 40s. He broke a record smack dab in the middle of his career in his prime and crushed it and did it stealing third base, which is harder to steal than going from first to second in terms of the throw from the catcher. Like, this guy is such an all-time player. Mm-hmm. I think he's on most people's top 10. No matter like however you look, he's on most people's top 10.
Doubt.
How he wasn't unanimous is absurd. Then you talk about the style of play. Think about the era he came up in the 80s, you know, early 80s. It was a very like old school era If you pimped a home run, if you flashed and you flared, right. Guys were coming at you. He was so good, no one had a problem with it.
Nah, nobody.
And the pop, the collar,
well, think
the
about
way
E40,
he pimped the homers.
Well, think about E40. He started popping his collar. Why? He started popping his collar. Why? Ricky Henderson. The way he pimped his home runs, the way he stole sec. If he got walked, he basically, as Bully said Saturday, he had a triple.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the pressure he would put, because like, I think about nowadays, you know, coming set and then throwing over. Think of the dance that he had. He was in dudes' domes, and now you can only throw over two times. Yeah. The guy would have 200 stolen bases in a year, for crying out loud.
I want to play this Harold Reynolds story on Ricky Henderson.
Please.
Harold Reynolds, this is a funny story.
It came down the last day of the year, and Willie Wilson and I were tied with 59. And we're playing in the same time zone at this time because I'm in Texas playing against the Rangers, and Willie's at home in Kansas City. And I steal a base, like, early in the game, and the ticker tape. No, it wasn't ticker tape. But anyway, I find out Willie goes 0 for 5. He does not steal the bag. I ended up being the stolen base champ. So Ricky probably had, I think, 30 stolen bases that year by May, and he got injured. And he's on his way to another 100 stolen base year. And he used to get on base at second. I would hold him on like a pitcher, like a first baseman. And he'd turn around and go, "Ricky getting ready to go now. Ricky getting ready to run. What are you going to do, Reynolds? Ricky getting ready to run." And I'd be like holding him, going to the pitcher. He's running. And he'd just take off. Do his thing. So I get home. I win the stolen base title. I have 60. Phone rings. Hello? No caller ID in those days. So hello? Henderson here. I said, "Hey, what up, Rick?" I'm thinking Ricky's calling me. Congratulate me. This is unbelievable. What's going on, Rick? How you doing? I'm like, "What you got? 60 stolen bases? You ought to be ashamed. Ricky, a 60th All-Star break." Click. Hung up the phone. I just hear a on the other end. That was it. So in my office at MLB Network, he signed a poster for me years later. And it says, "You know, stolen base champ, Ricky Henderson."
And you hear stories about that all the time. The John LaRusse story. He's like,
all time.
I have a teammate at first base who used to wear a helmet. Man. And then John LaRusse goes, "Yeah, that was me." "Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, Ricky got to go." And Ricky goes, "It's still second base, man." He was an iconic kid. They don't make him. He's one of one.
No question.
He's truly one of one.
Well, and the thing that, like, we haven't even talked about it. In left field, we used to do this. My dad would, "Dad, hit me fly balls. Dad, hit me fly balls." We all wanted to catch it and snap it and flip the glove the way that Ricky did it.
Yep.
Ricky would catch, snap off the hip, flip it up. Like, he turned it into a whole thing. Bond started basically recreating what Ricky Henderson started. Everybody wanted to be like him. He was. And here's the crazy thing. I'm convinced, this is how sick my head is, I'm convinced had he chose football, he would have been like an Emmitt Smith-level football player.
Oh,
and I know
great,
that's, I'm not trying to disrespect Emmitt Smith.
No.
I am being dead serious. Whatever that man chose to do, I think he would have been one of the greats.
Well, he was a great football player in high school at Oakland Tech. And if I'm not mistaken, USC wanted him.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
His mom made,
USC,
him, yeah, made him go play baseball.
USC, the USC Trojans. In the 70s, that had already had O.J. Simpson and many other great running backs back in those days. He was going to go to USC and be a running back. Tailback you at the time. He would have been playing ahead of Marcus Allen. That would have been crazy. But he was made for baseball. We needed a character like that in baseball. He's an icon and probably left this world way too early, man.
Well, that was the thing that I kept coming back. Like, it hit me really hard, and I was just like, dude, A, way too young. And then B, pneumonia. Like, and I know Debo got pneumonia earlier this year. Pneumonia is so scary. Like, it really is. And I don't know how he got it, and I don't know what ended up happening. But seeing him, because, like, to me, he is the face of vibrance and strength. And I thought he'd live forever.
Yeah.
Like, I really did. I thought that Ricky would live forever. And, I mean, we just saw him at the Coliseum, like, when they had the final games. And he just looked so dapper and so clean. And he always had the big, strong forearms and the chiseled chin. And everything about him was so pristine. And the way he wore his jersey It was like perfection. And that's why, to me, he's very much like Jerry Rice. Yeah. The longevity, the obsession with the game. This is a man playing in his 40s for some random independent league and probably still dominating. Like, he never, quote unquote, retired from baseball.
Yeah, no.
You know, he never retired. Loved the game so much. Played for a million teams. You know, I know you guys did on the postgame show. You were asking. And I know Bill Russell is one of the all-time greats. And I don't want to sound like I'm diminishing him. There have been some unbelievable players coming out of the East Bay in particular. But for me, and I would love to hear from East Bay residents, Ricky Henderson is the greatest Oakland athlete of all time because he played for the freaking A's and was twice and was just absolutely dominant. He's a top 10 player in a sport of all time. And your point about he's the ultimate leadoff here, on my starting nine in the history of the game, absolutely he's batting leadoff and he's in there.
Stolen base king, Ricky Henderson, may you rest in peace. All right, let's get to Samita Los Gatos, who showed her face at the Dubia Awards. Great to meet her in her A's jersey as well. Hey, if I'm not mistaken, was that a Ricky Henderson jersey?
It absolutely was.
Wow, Samita, wow. How ironic will we meet you? You got your A's jersey, and it's a Ricky Henderson one, and he leaves the world a few hours later. But it was great to meet you, Samita. Great to meet you.
It was really great to meet both of you, and it was a really wonderful event. I really, really enjoyed myself. I stayed around much longer than I intended to because it was a good time.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come out. It really means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate what you guys do, and so I thought the event was really well planned, and it was just a lot of fun. So it was a really nice vibe in there. So it was really, really memorable and a good way to end the year, I think. Just wanted to mention, you know, how much Ricky Henderson did for the game of baseball. I think the kind of personality that he had and the way he played the game, honestly, I think baseball is missing that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's missing that flair, the eccentricities. You know, everybody's too worried about, you know, their bag and how it's going to play on social media. And nobody wants to kind of go out on a limb anymore. But, you know, he was just unabashedly himself. I think a 30 for 30 on Ricky Henderson. There's a podcast, which is really great, that talks about when he went and played in the minors for a while after he retired, just because he wanted to play baseball. This is how much this man loved the game. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes in the modern sports world, you know.
Totally.
Niners, just real quick, they need to rebuild, guys. I don't know why we're talking about this piece and that piece. They need to strip it down to the studs and start over. And that means you got to look at every single player on the team and see whether or not they're going to fit the vision for what you want to do and where you want to go, and just start over. Because saying, oh, this guy got us to the Super Bowl, or this team did this on, you know, couple of years ago, I don't think that's going to work. I think you got to go all the way down to the studs and start all the way over.
Wow. Damn.
Wow. Great call, Samita.
Anybody else feel like that? Rip it down to the studs?
I have a buddy, Mark.
I love Yerbik. You, Samita, but I don't know if I'm ripping it down to the studs.
My buddy Yerbik, he is convinced that paying Brock Purdy signifies we're kind of rolling back a lot of the same stuff. And
yeah, I don't know if it does. I wouldn't go there yet. I wouldn't assume that Deebo's going to be back. I wouldn't assume that some of these guys are going to be back. I think this roster will look a little different. You have to evolve. That's the NFL. But can you keep Fred Warner around?
Well, I think there's a handful of guys that have to stay.
Right. And this
Fred
is,
and Kittle.
This is Kittle definitely has
I
to
think
stay.
Deebo's going to stay.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Said on his podcast yesterday after the game that he thought it was 25% that he comes back. Now he thinks it's more like 50-50.
Because of that one game yesterday?
No, because he's been hearing from people about, like, there's a lot of they don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk. They don't know what's going to happen with Ricky Pearsall. And he's still a very important, beloved player in that locker room. And his number is only $17 million next year. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I don't.
So I don't know. I'm just going off Mayoko.
I don't know what they're going to do.
I have no feel.
Yeah,
for
it. I'm not. I'm going to let that play out. But I'm eager to see what it looks
I'm
like.
I'm just not ready to get rid of Deebo either, though.
Yeah, I want premium players. If I think this whole thing looks differently if Christian McCaffrey's on the football field. We talk about gravity with Stephen Curry all the damn time. Well, the gravity of Christian McCaffrey has sorely been missed.
Yeah, but you can't bank on a 30-year-old running back coming back to life. Like they need to.
We know that
they
now.
Want him back.
We know that now.
They need to have like your whole offense can't just be
I'm not even going by that next season. I'm going by this season where you did plan on having Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
And he comes into camp, and a couple days into camp, you get the calf strain that later leads to bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Christian McCaffrey on his team for this season. I'm not banking on him being the player that we saw in 2023 at all. That may be done. Who knows? That was a dream season for everybody involved.
I would draft a running back.
But Christian McCaffrey for this team this season and what they plan to do on this team was sorely missed.
There's no doubt.
Red zone efficiency woes are directly related to Christian McCaffrey's absence. And then the gravity that he does create for these other guys that can get open and don't have to worry about a linebacker underneath. You know what I mean?
So the irony is they still put up a ton of yards. I watch this offense. There is still chunk plays out there.
It's never been easier to get yards in this league.
That's true.
But scoring touchdowns is what separates the good from the great.
Well, and I think that's where I go back to Brock Purdy, Bonte. Like, I don't think his accuracy's been that great, or his decision making in the red zone. Do I love the play calling? Not really. But we expect everyone in the red zone. Like, this should be your most creative wide open throw for a touchdown. Like, I thought Shanahan schemed up the Saubert touchdown brilliantly. It was a perfectly designed play. The guy was wide open. Boom. It's hard to do that to a defense, have a perfectly wide open guy. Sometimes you got to look off this dude and hit Kittle, who's wide open for a touchdown, and that comes down to execution.
It comes down to execution, and again, I think we don't give, and look, I know a lot of people are going to be doom and gloom on Brock. I hear it, I see it, I read it all. But you got to remember, he had played every game with Christian McCaffrey. That's his guy. And we know how good Christian McCaffrey is. But the music, the sweet music that Brock Purdy and McCaffrey made together in the pass game and a run game, that I can't overlook this team and say, damn, the number one red zone weapon, not only on the 49ers, but possibly in the NFL. There's a short list. There's the Saquons. There's the Lamar Jacksons. There's all these guys in the red zone. Christian McCaffrey was up there. And I think we underrated that loss. We underrated the loss and what his absence would be for this offense. And we're seeing it play out in real time. We are. Let's just look at the red zone numbers. And then Brandon Ayuk, I want to add that. I don't want to forget about Brandon Ayuk. I think he was underrated by a lot of us out here in the Bay Area.
If you just isolated Purdy's play, right? Just isolated his play alone. Has his decision-making been great?
It hasn't been great.
Has his accuracy been as good?
It hasn't been as good. No.
Okay, so like that's kind of where I fall.
But the two things he hung his hat on haven't
been as good this year.
But I also don't think it's that simple. Football's not that simple. It's a little more complexity to it. When your offensive line, we just played this out of Richard Sherman. He's talking about getting three new positions. That's Richard Sherman. Well, we got a problem with the offensive line, which is what has led to more scrambling and more indecisions and more trust issues for Brock Purdy. You're playing with Ricky Pearsall, who's not on the field a lot. And so there's no chemistry there with Ricky Pearsall. That's a disappointment. We expected a lot more, but when you don't get on the practice field and things happen to you that, you know, let's be face it, he got shot and set him back 6 weeks. So now it's a long season for Ricky Pearsall. When you don't have all those elements, sure, I'm not saying you need it to be perfect, but I understand why Brock Purdy is struggling. Now, the decision-making could be better. There's no doubt. I'm not exonerating him from that. But at the same time, I'm looking at the team around him saying, damn, this roster is depreciated rapidly in the last 4 months because of all the injuries and the things are happening. So I'm not ready to give up on Brock, I guess is what I'm saying.
I don't think Brock is going to be solid either, but I just think that I'm coming to the reality that he's not as good. Right now, he's not playing nearly as good as he was last year, period.
Can't we see why, though, Shasky?
Yeah, but
can't we see why?
You also still have enough playmakers out there.
I don't know if we have enough playmakers.
Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, and Deebo Samuel.
We didn't think those guys
aren't enough.
Deebo Samuel just went through a stretch where he had 101 receiving yards in 5 weeks.
He's still a threat.
Deebo has not been a threat this year.
Well, he's still a threat.
Juwan Jennings is
having his best season by far, George Kittle's having a monster year.
But Juwan Jennings having a great season doesn't mean he's a great player. He's just having a good season on this team. Ideally, Juwan Jennings is your number three or number four wide receiver.
I don't understand why everyone is so afraid to just say Brock hasn't been as good.
I'm not. I said it over and over. Are you not listening?
Stop baking in excuses.
I said it over and over.
He's not as good.
He has not been as good. I don't know what. Did I not say that? I said he has not been as good.
How can a Niners fan watch this team and think?
He threw for 313 yesterday behind that offensive line and that receiver core. Debo has not been good this year.
At the end of that game.
Debo has not been good this year, has he?
Okay, so what?
Debo, what you mean, so what? That's his
playmaker. They had the number six rusher for six, or whatever, number five rusher for 7 weeks. They had a run game going for a while.
They were battling for first place.
Isaac Grendel came in and he was running it pretty well.
Grendel was okay.
They've had moments. They still put up yards. Grendel
was okay.
There are plays out there. The quarterback's been a little, like, if you're going to be the number one position in sports, play quarterback, we've got to be able to fairly judge these things.
We are. Yeah, am I not? Am I not?
Yeah, I think you're
am
afraid.
I, not?
I think you're afraid to critique
them. No, I'm not. I'm
yeah,
not.
That's the critique, I get.
No, I'm not. But that's because of what you're listening to. I've critiqued them all season. All season. All season. I've critiqued them about yesterday. But I also understand football's not just a one-man sport.
No one said it is.
It's a 53-man sport.
No one says it is.
And so if you have guys playing behind that offensive line, I understand there's going to be struggles.
Yeah, but
there's
how
going
come,
to be struggles
but then
at
how
quarterback.
Come we don't extend that? For example, we're like when we talk about Bosa, Bosa's been a huge disappointment. No one cares that they have no one else on the D-line and he's getting triple-teamed. He's been a huge disappointment, independent of, yeah, the rest of that
well,
D-line sucks.
What's baked in it with Bosa, in my equation, I won't speak for everybody.
Yeah.
What's baked into it is that Bosa has made multiple excuses.
No
and
question.
And Bosa has shined a light on himself that has made everybody kind of step back and look and say, okay, dude, you got to play well because you're chirping a lot.
Yeah, but independent
you're making
of all
excuses.
Of that noise, Brock, he has been disappointed.
I haven't heard Brock Purdy make one excuse for the way he's played. I haven't heard him make one excuse.
I don't need excuses. I just don't think he's playing that great.
But if he's not playing great, is he not playing great simply because of we're seeing a massive regression of performance from him? Is it injury-related, or is it simply just because there are issues around him?
I think there's a lot internally for him.
I don't think it's just one thing with
Brock,
though.
No, that I agree with.
And that's why it's like it's hard to really just like really crush Brock for how this season's gone.
Thank you.
Because there's so many things going wrong around him.
I don't think I'm crushing
him. To Shasky's point, though, Brock has not lived up to the standard that he set for this team.
I thought we had a top-10 lock quarterback, and I don't think that today.
I still think we do. I still think we do. I still think we have a guy that you could give the ball to in 2025 and lead this team to a lot of victories. But I also understand that he's not one of the Golden Four quarterbacks. All right? He's not one of those guys that's just going to put it all on his shoulders and make these happen. He needs his wide receivers to make plays. How many years and how many weeks have we discussed the wide receiver core failing to gain separation? Debo had a great game yesterday. Thank God he did. Because the previous 5 weeks, Debo had 101 receiving yards. So when you have Debo Samuel not making plays, hell, if he makes a play last Thursday night and catches that pass against the LA Rams, we could be talking about a different situation with the 49ers. Now we could be talking about, oh my God, the Dolphin game. They're done. They're not going to the playoffs. Said we do that Thursday night. The previous week, because Debo's dropping passes and he can't get open.
They still had opportunities to win the game, and they've had it from 2 months now, and the quarterback's had the ball in the second half, and he's left a lot on the table.
But he has. He has, and I have not dismissed that whatsoever. But when you say he's got Debo, he's got this, he's got that, well, Debo's been a shell of himself. Ricky Pearsall can't get
Kittle's
open.
Kittle's still an all-timer.
All right. Kittle's having a great year.
All-timer.
But Kittle can't do it by himself.
No one's saying he can, but like part of when like all these other quarterbacks around the league, forget the top four, just the other quarterbacks. I'm seeing Herbert throw to a Ladd McConkey who just got here, just got into the league, you know? And so, you know, Bo Nix is doing it with a lot of not special around him. Cortland Sutton's a nice player. George Kittle is an all-time player, all-time player. So there are a lot of other situations around the league that I look at and I go, could be worse.
Well, the Chargers and Broncos have premier defenses. The Niners don't.
Well,
that's a big difference.
I thought they held Miami down pretty well yesterday.
but they have a premier defense.
It was 22-19 or whatever, 22-17 with 2 minutes to go and you had the ball. So if you told me my defense was going to hold down Miami's offense to 22, I'd probably take that.
I thought the defense is okay. I thought Miami dictated tempo all day yesterday. I thought that was their game. They controlled, in my opinion, the tempo. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Rob, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. Hey, first off, I want to say, you know, y'all threw a great event.
Oh, Rob, yeah, thank you for coming through, man.
Thank you
for the kind words, man. It really really touched me what you said Friday.
Oh, no, that's real talk. That's real talk. You too, Chasky. But, you know, like I said, a great event. Met a lot of good people up there. And then Tony, man, whatever she be on, she need to pass that to me because that she be on fire. But,
I met a good dude in Tyler. I met OG Gene. I met a few other cats I was talking to. I can't get the names to my head right now. Richie was a cool cat.
Great guy.
I met the owner, the big man. What's his name?
Oh, Sam. Great guy.
No, the station director.
Oh, Hegan. Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna have to get in the weight room a little more. He lightweight strong. He's a bully out there, man. He be eating weights. He look like. Look, man. Hey, Bonte, we gotta keep it real, man. There's two games in a row, two must wins in a game in a row, and Purdy throws an interception to lose the game. Come on, man. His stats right now is 17 touchdowns, 14 total turnovers, with 10 interceptions and 4 fumbles. That's mediocre as it gets. Now, he has some great throws. He has some great times this year. But then he has some bad times this year. When you average it all out, it becomes average. That's the type of quarterback he is. So it is what it is. And then I think people overreacting over the O-line. I'll give Kyle credit with this. Kyle has never really drafted high offensive linemen here, except for McGlinchey. And that didn't really, it worked out, but it didn't work out.
I agree.
That good, but we won.
Yep.
So I feel like this is Kyle, this is his family's offense. So they know what they want in their linemen. So I leave that up to him. It's the reason why he don't draft big guards in the first round, second round, like that. He knows what he wants out of his offensive lineman. This is scheme, so you got to let him choose that. It's not like a power scheme. Say, just give me the biggest offensive lineman you got, and we're going to move forward. They do a lot of movement, so they got to be agile. So I understand what people don't really understand, because this offense is built off rhythm. The run game and the play action off of that. If the run game ain't working, there's only so many routes the Niners run that they quarterback can actually throw, and teams keen in on that. So you got to let him work that whole line, because it's all about tricking the defense. That's what this offense is about. You know what I'm saying? But, Purdy, he needs some work. Bosa, look, man, I'm putting him on the trade block. I'm doing everything possible to get two guys. I'm going for Travis Hunter. If we can lose every game from now on, and we can find a way to trade up to get Travis Hunter, or we got to go Shedeur Sanders.
We got to go
one of those two.
Where are you putting Travis? Are you putting him on defense or offense?
Man, to me, he a natural corner because of his instincts.
Yeah.
He don't got to depend on the quarterback to get him the ball. But if you need to put him a receiver and run some little stuff, like he can run routes. So I think he can play receiver. But me personally, I like him at DB. I can move him at safety corner because he got good eyes. He got good instincts. So if we can do that, we can try to move up to get, I want Hunter. But we can get a Shedeur Sanders, I take that too. But I want Travis Hunter. He's a game changer to me.
I would love. I don't see how that happens. I would love Travis Hunter.
The Niners right now would pick number 11 in the NFL draft. Number 11. By the way, the Raiders, how Raider fans feeling sport about winning that game yesterday?
Oof. I was hurting for Spadoni yesterday after that Raider win because I know how badly he wanted them to lose that game. Mm.
I was going up against Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, and Brian Thomas Jr. And
what are you talking?
What?
You talking fantasy?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was rooting against all of them.
Good clarification.
Just got to make sure because I can't. I'm not allowed to talk fantasy football.
Semis.
I'm not allowed to talk fantasy football.
So I was watching that game with a keen eye on no one scoring. And when the Raiders scored, I was like, poor Spadoni.
Hugo in Memphis, what's happening?
Hi, Hugo.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, just talking 49er football. Man, I was hearing what you guys were saying about Brock Purdy and all that stuff. But to be honest with you, I think the main thing we have to focus on this offseason is going to be the O-line. Every time I look up, I see Jake Brendel just getting beat on stunts, whether that be him being pancaked or him missing an assignment or costing us to be behind the sticks on the penalties. So I think focusing on that and putting some protection around Brock so he's not scrambling like a chicken without a head, I think that's important. I heard Travis Hunter. You know, I'm not really keen on Travis Hunter, to be honest with you. I think he'll, wherever he goes, I think I see him more actually as a free safety out there instead of a corner.
We can use a free safety.
And I think, you know, he has that instinct to just, like, if he sees run, he'll automatically go right? Help the defensive end, like the defensive lines, like go stop the run. And on the defensive end, I really think we need like some run blockers, man. Like, I see Fred does everything he can, but like, are we gonna keep Dre Greenlaw around, right? Like, are we gonna keep Aaron Banks around? Are we going to Demetrius Flynn and Flowers? Like, what are we doing with those players? Are we using D Winters how we're supposed to? So that's a big if whether Dre Greenlaw is going to come back or not. Obviously, I'm assuming he's going to have offers elsewhere, and I hope it's not like a Aziz Ashir thing where he goes to like another team or anything like that, because I do think he's one of the better linebackers in the league.
Yeah,
and I'm sure a lot of people are going to throw money at him. Cowboys being one of them, I think that might offer him some money like that. And another thing that disappointed me last night, right? I was watching Sunday Night Football, and I see the Cowboys, which I hate, right? I think anybody can say that. And I see them actually going out there and hustling, playing for something, and the 49ers just look lackadaisical at that.
Yeah,
fact,
I, you know what, Hugo? I'm a pushback on that. I saw a Niner team playing their ass off yesterday. I didn't see any quit. I didn't see any quit from that bunch yesterday. That's George Kittle played his ass off.
The final play.
I thought Patrick Taylor Jr. played his ass off.
A-Chain blew by everybody.
Right. Well, the dam broke. The dam broke on the defense. The dam broke, and A-Chain's got speed.
He is.
I thought this team.
Very fast.
I thought they played their ass off yesterday, man. I did not get the sense from watching that game that that team was checked out. I saw a team trying to win a football game. That's just my personal opinion.
Hey, I just don't
anybody
think
out there
good.
Thought they quit? No, I didn't think they quit.
At the very end, maybe. But
come on.
I said maybe.
Come on.
It's just I don't see them playing with their hair on fire, to his point.
Well, their defense is not good enough to play with their
That's
hair
true.
On fire. I thought D'Amador Lenore played great. Renardo Green. You tell me that game didn't mean something?
There was a couple of throws that Tua made. The precision. Renardo's right all over both receivers, Tyreek and the other guy, 83.
Mm-hmm.
Just perfect placed balls. Perfectly placed balls.
Let's go to TC and Sack. Yeah, clip that. Pause on that one. Jeez, Louise. Good Lord, TC. Did you hear that?
Are we making Louises anymore? I have not heard of a girl named Louise in a long time.
Yeah, way to change the
subject. Very 80-year-old.
Way to change the subject.
Yeah, I know. What's up, TC?
Ponte Shasky, what's up with my bros? Can y'all hear me?
Oh, man, I got
good.
You,
I'm getting
buddy.
Ready for Christmas.
Hey, I know. Listen, getting ready for Christmas, feeling good. You know what? Merry Christmas to y'all, man, the family and the babies, bro, before we even get started, man. Happy holidays, bro.
We're going to go see Santa today.
Thank you. And also, I want to apologize. I couldn't make it out Friday, man, for the awards, man. I want to get
next time.
Working. Yes. So, hey, are you guys with me? I mean, what I was talking about, because now we can get juicy now, right? Number 97 for 2 first-round picks and Kyle for 2 first-round picks, right? Now we can get juicy. We can. Now, listen. You pick who you want, right? Because honestly, we got to move on from Shanahan. Either he's fired or we got to trade him, bro. That's the only two options. Him coming back, him drafting another quarter. Like, no, bro, we're past that. We're over that. We have to move on.
TC, what do you make of this? I'm going to throw this at Bonte, too. Jesse Naylor tweeted out, losing seasons and the seasons that they've coached. Andy Reid, 3 losing seasons in 26 years. Yeah. Mike Tomlin, 0 in 18. Jim Harbaugh, 0 in 5. John Harbaugh, 2 in 17. As in losing seasons in 17 total seasons coached. McVay, only 1 losing season in the 8 he's coached. Mike McCarthy, 5 in the 18. McDermott, 1 in the 8. Sean Payton, 5 in 17. LaFleur, 1 in 6. Shanahan, 4 of the 8 years he's coached, he's had a losing season. Do you make anything of that?
No, I don't make anything of that because I see with my eyes. It's an eye test, Bonte. Joey, listen. We always talk about the eye test with this guy. That goes back to what I said originally, right? High-level loser, remember? Didn't y'all skip that? But that, a high-level loser, bro. We're not getting nowhere with this guy, man. We have to move on, bro. Simple as that. That's all I got. Happy holidays.
Yeah, that means nothing to me. Now, I'm going to tell you why it means nothing to me. Again, we're losing all side of context. When Shanahan took this job, this is the worst roster of football.
Okay, but 2 losing seasons in the last 6.
Hold. 4 NFC championship games in the last 6.
I'm just asking.
No, come on. The context, you know better, Shasky. You watch the games just like me. Now, this is the kiddie table conversation because I'm going to explain why. The first year, you got the expansion team. Then you trade for a quarterback.
So throw those
the quarterback. The quarterback gets hurt week 3. Boom, you lose again. So then it's starting in 2019 when the real test starts. Super Bowl. 2020, pandemic season, everybody drops like flies. You lose Bosa. You lost Bosa, Solomon Thomas on back-to-back plays. You lost Jimmy in the same game. You lost Mostert in the same game. You lost Reed in the same game. Injuries galore in Glendale, Arizona. Okay, so you lose. You get beat up in that season. You don't have anybody playing. And then what's happened the last 4 years previously, or last three? Boom, NFC Championship. Boom, NFC Championship. Boom, a Super Bowl appearance. Okay, now this year things go awry. There's context to everything, man. So I'm not subscribing to that Shanahan. You want to move on from Shanahan? Fine, move on from Shanahan. But you better find a good replacement. You better find somebody.
I'm just asking what you make of it.
I don't make anything of it. I think it's a joke.
You don't think it's a joke? You don't think there's anything to these other coaches not having as many losing seasons?
Well, the context of Philadelphia, they had a lot. They had a quarterback. Donovan McNabb was a really good quarterback for a long, long time. And Andy Reid's a hell of a coach. He's one of the best coaches we've ever seen. He did. And he built that team up. And boom, he got fired.
What
after 14 seasons. How many McVay's been solid?
He only had one losing season in
it's
eight.
It's good. He's 8-8, though. 97. How many playoffs has he missed? How many playoffs has he missed? Like, we understand why Shanahan lost the first 2 years. Don't we all understand it? McVay walked into a situation with the LA Rams where he had Jared Goff.
Yeah, but Goff
he had Todd Gurley. He had wide receivers and Robert Woods. Brandon Cooks was there too. So Goff was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but he was so awful.
Jeff Fisher was awful.
I'm just saying he was bad.
So it wasn't like Sean McVay walked into a situation where he didn't have talent. Literally, Shanahan walked into a situation where there's DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead, who we all didn't believe in. And that was that. So it's hard for me to say Kyle's an underachiever when he built this roster to the roster that it is.
Just looking at the team today, they've got a big uphill battle to get over 500 next year.
I doubt it. They're going to be back in the playoffs.
They look very old.
I think they'll be able to reinvent themselves. Deamonor Lenore and Renardo Green are some damn good corners. Fred Warner's still playing at a high level. He'll get healthy. Now, you got to fix this defensive line. There's no doubt about it. But I got some damn good players in Juwan Jennings. I got a damn good quarterback in Brock Purdy, who I believe in. I still think George Kittle's an all-time tight end, playing at the height of his powers. There's a lot going on here that are positive for the 49ers that we're blinded by because of the losing record. I get it. They're 6-9. But I don't make anything of the 4 year losing seasons with Shanahan. I don't. Because I understand the first two, you're basically building up an expansion team.
And
is that fair?
Two losing seasons in the last six?
All right, but we can't be screaming and hollering at 4 NFC Championship game appearances in the last 5. Now we're nitpicking, Chasky.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking if there's anything to make of
it. Do you think there's something there?
I do think there's a little something there. There's like this team does need a little overhaul. I think they're trending in the other direction. I actually don't. I'm not as optimistic as you are that an immediate, just snap your fingers and you'll be better.
$35 million
wide receiver next year who I don't even know if he can play.
That'd be fine.
And then you got a rookie wide receiver who I don't even know if he can play. And so, like, I got an aging core here. Yeah, I'm a little worried. I think the rest of the NFC, like, I watch a hungry, young Washington team that's only going to get better and better and better.
We'll see.
And they're not even a playoff team.
We'll see. Last place schedule next year for the 49ers.
Will help.
Oh, big time. Will it help? Top 10 pick, possibly. Niners will be back.
Well, they got to hit those picks.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, the 49ers once again came away from a loss with a bunch of injuries, man. This team is just dropping like flies. Dre Greenlaw left the game early in the first half due to cast orders. Jalen Moore came out of the game due to a quad injury, and worse than the day, Aaron Banks came out after suffering what appears to be an MCL injury that will effectively end the season. Talk about Aaron Banks descending. That's another player we thought highly of going into the year. Man, you got your left side of the line for a long time. Aaron Banks, a hell of a left tackle. Aaron Banks has been awful. Yeah. Awful. Awful this season.
I didn't have Dominic Cooney completely outplaying him.
And then you get the backup, Jaylon Moore, getting hurt. So this offensive line needs an overhaul. But I do think the Niners will be able to reinvent themselves. They've been blown out in two games. They were blown out. And one had the backup quarterback. One was in the snow. Other than that, they've been in every single game. That's why I feel a little confident about the Niners moving forward. But if you're not, go ahead, give us a call. 888-957-9570 is the number. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson. Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We pay our respects to Ricky Henderson. Got a lot of sound there. The Warriors, they win a game in Minnesota. They come back home for 8 of their next 9. Now's a great opportunity to stack some wins as the chef shut everybody up with 13 fourth-quarter points. And, of course, we'll talk about Brock and the 49ers. Your call is coming up here on the Roast on 95.7 The Game.